Welcome to the CMO Marketing Podcast, where we interview business owners, leaders, or marketing professionals to find out their lessons and stories for success.
Welcome to the CMO Marketing Podcast, episode number 108, with me, your host, Simon Dell. Thank you very much for listening in. We do appreciate it. Today on this show, we have a gentleman by the name of Mal McCallion. Now, poor Mal had to get up insanely early in the morning for this one because he lives in St. Ives in Cornwall in the UK, a lovely, lovely part of the United Kingdom, but also absolutely miles from anywhere. He is the CEO or managing director of a business called Growtion, Growtion. With a name like that, he is focused on growth of business. So that's pretty much what he does. He is a vast resource of tips and ideas on how to get your business growing quickly. He's got some really cool things that he's created over the years. A business version of the chemical element table, which I think is very, very cool and fun, a great way to learn about how to improve your business. And I think anybody that listens to this podcast will learn a huge amount. And before we jump into the episode and listen to what Mal has to say, the usual announcements. If you want to come and find out what we do, www.cemoh.com, C-E-M-O-H.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok. Come and watch some of our cool TikTok videos that we've just started posting. And find out what we do, find out a little bit more about us. Please also rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We would much appreciate that. And finally, the usual shout out to Gilberto, our audio engineer, for all the work he does in the background, making this sound half decent. So thank you, Gilberto. That's pretty much it. Let's jump into episode number 108 with Mal McCallion. Welcome to the show, Mal McCallion. You are currently in a place called St. Ives in the UK.
That is true.
And you're the CEO of Growtion. Have I pronounced that correctly?
You have, yes.
Excellent. Now, I'm not going to make any St. Ives jokes because there's about 1,000 dirty limericks from the start. I once met a man from St. Ives.
Famous and wives like and so on, yeah.
Right, yes. Maybe we might do one of those at the end.
I can't even remember.
Get labelled on YouTube for over 18 content. Tell me all about Growtion. Tell me what you do.
Sure, and thanks. So look, great to be here. And it's been snowing over here. I think you're in the beautiful sunshine, so I'm very, very jealous. What I do over here in the freezing cold St. Ives is, Growtion is a business that's all focused around growth execution, which is what the name is come from, those two words smashed together. And it sort of started out when I got involved in some startups back in the early 2000s. So there's a business over here called primelocation.com, which is a property portal, luxury property. And I was one of six who helped set that up way back in 2000. And we sold that for £48 million in 2005. And so that kind of got me the bug for startups and kind of high growth businesses. And I was really kind of interested in this, in why certain businesses went like that and other businesses did not. And, you know, the same six people, the same six kinds of people sitting around the same kinds of tables in the same kinds of offices. And yet something triggered or some combination of events or processes or strategies led one business to go really well and one not. And so I started off doing with a focus on that. I was fortunate enough to be involved in realestate.com.au, actually, as they came over to the UK. And they started a subsidiary over here called propertyfinder.com, and that was great fun. I ended up running a magazine business for them randomly for a little while. And then a business called Zoopla came along. Zoopla started up over here, and that is now the second largest property portal after, or probably website after, physical white move over here. So we built Zoopla again up from scratch. You know, that was employee 11, and that sold 2 years ago for $2.2 billion. And so again, I've just been really lucky to be part of some really strong growth stories. And what I've done with Growtion is try and distill it down, all right, for SME businesses to what are the core components of a business that is able to be successful versus one that it doesn't make it. And essentially, growth should be focused on three things. We focus on product, we focus on marketing, and we focus on sales. And that is pretty much how basic, I guess, is the idea that I've kind of boiled it down to. Yeah. But within each of those broad topics, product, marketing, and sales, I've got five different elements that I look at. So it's at heart, I'm pretty much a nerd, and that's why I just want to boil everything down to, like, you know, is there a process? Can I find a process that does all this stuff? And that's pretty much where it came from.
And are you, in your iteration now, do businesses come to you and they pay you for coaching, or is it a membership thing, or do you invest time and take a share in the business? How do you fund yourself now?
Yeah, great question. So there's kind of three broad categories of that as well. So one is pure consultants. So I will be paid for either days on retainer plus success fee. So I spend a lot of time, I think probably the majority of my time, if I'm fair, in sales. So one of the things that you probably observed as well is entrepreneurs, particularly SME entrepreneurs in general, that they do it from a passionate point of view. So what they're doing is pretty much what their dream is often. Not all the time, but often. So the product side of things, they kind of understand mostly what they want to do, and what we do is we just kind of shape that a little bit. In the marketing side, that's really creative. So they do kind of get really excited about kind of getting all the marketing stuff together. But it's the sales side that they tend to just, you know, it's almost like a dirty work, right? You know, they don't want to get stuck into, you know, this is such a beautiful thing that they're doing, and they've kind of, you know, positioned it so lovely, and marketing, you know, they've got all that stuff out there, but the last thing they want to do is pick up the phone and hear somebody tell them that their baby is ugly. All right. And they don't want to hear somebody say to them, look, you know, this really doesn't work for me, because their dream is that it works for everybody. So I spend a lot of time in sales. And as part of that, I then can take some success fee in terms of the number of sales we do, or you know, business and so on. So from that side of things, it kind of depends. What I have been doing since lockdown started over here, and we are still in a lockdown three, you know, the revenge, it keeps on going, right? And we've got no sort of... they mentioned February, but nobody really believes it. So we are here, and you know, a lot of the face-to-face stuff and the kind of going around the business stuff that we used to do has obviously changed. So what I've been doing, or what I've really focused on over the last year or so, is getting everything online. So I've got an online course up there now. So if you go to growthexecution.academy, then there's stuff up there all about how to launch your business. All right, that's obviously the first step. And I also have various bits and pieces. So there's a book coming out in a month or two and things around that as well. So you know, really, as I have been focused on different ways of working and finding and discovering different ways of getting my own business out there, obviously that's helped me to look at other strategies and other tactics for my clients as well.
One of the things I wanted to touch on today was you'd flagged that you have a section on your website to give away, you know, intellectual property, IP, ideas, you know, all that kind of thing, various tools and stuff like that. And I think for most people who are in marketing, who own a business, understand the idea of giving something away free of charge in order to attract someone's attention and capture someone's interest. From a small business perspective, what do you find works the best? Because, I mean, there's 1,000 ebooks out there and there's, you know, with limited resources and limited time, what can a small business do to attract those people in using content?
Right. So there's two things that I specifically focus on. All right. And the first of them is, and you talked about ebooks and so on, but that's a really valid way of releasing a lead magnet out there.
Yeah.
But one of the things about that really needs to be in place is it needs to be really specific. So it needs to, you need to think about the question that your clients ask you most often. All right. So what is that question? Is it, how do I reach this particular audience cohort? Is it, so if it's a client of one of your marketing businesses, you know, they might get asked, you know, how do I get the maximum reach for money? Whatever that specific question is, that needs to be the title of your booklet or your little PDF or whatever. And you need to get as much, obviously, SEO juice behind that as possible. If you can think of a question that's slightly a bit off the wall, that's not necessarily being asked by many other, sorry, that's not necessarily being serviced by many other people, that, of course, is brilliant too. But if you can get something that's really in your niche, right, that's really in your sweet spot, the thing that you are here to do, that answers the question that that you are asked most often by your clients. So, for example, one of the things that we get authorized in about pricing, you know, so how do I price my product? You know, and that's something that's a little bit kind of to the side from the sort of mainstream, but it's something that, that we get asked all the time. So there's a lot of stuff we put out there about, around. So find that question, write something that is a, you know, just a very straightforward sort of PDF that you can save up, and then you can make available on a landing page on the website. That I have found continues to be something that, you know, people, I do it all the time, you know, if I can't fix part of my boiler or whatever, you search for stuff, right? You try and find an answer online. So there are people searching right now for the solution that you provide by asking the question that you are asked most often, because if it's a question for your clients, it's a question for your next clients. So that, I think, is a really, really, really strong way of generating those inbound leads.
And the second, I guess, just to jump in there before you do the second one, I totally agree with everything you say there. I guess one of the things I often say to clients is, often writing is a big challenge, especially for technical clients and, you know, people that are used to doing things with their hands. I know writing technically uses your hands, but, you know, but people who are on the tools and a job, you know, sitting there writing something down is often painful for them. So would you sort of say to people, you know, you don't have to write these things yourself. You know, you could go out and, you know, get contract copywriters, or I actually saw a site on the web the other day where you could buy ebooks already written. And and I'll have to stick there. Whilst you're giving your second example, I might dig out that whatever that was, but it was, you know, people don't have to do it themselves, do they? They could find someone else to help them with this sort of thing.
That's true. So I would highly recommend that this is because this has to convert. All right, this is when people see that and read that and look at that, they've got to know that your competence, you know, it shines through. Now, if writing is not one of your competencies, then don't worry about it. Go find the skill set that does that. It's the equivalent of, in my mind, it's equivalent of getting an accountant. I am absolutely terrible at doing all the accountancy stuff, and I get somebody in to do that because that just wastes my time and makes me sad. So get somebody in who does this stuff for a living, somebody who's really, really good at it, and get them to help you out on it. And yes, you know, again, we're thinking about sort of cash-constrained businesses potentially. You know, if you know somebody who's really good at it, then ask them. But, you know, certainly don't present something out there that is going to be the thing, the first thing that people see about you or learn about you that isn't doing justice to what you're here to do and the people that you're here to serve. Because those people will necessarily then become, you know, become slightly alienated. I mean, the other idea with that is then to potentially go down the second route, which is much more about, it's a questionnaire, all right? So it's kind of like a scorecard. And I don't know if you use these in your business as well, but I've found one that's really good. It's Typeform. And again, there's a free version of it as well as a very low-cost monthly fee for it. And Typeform, T-Y-P-E-F-O-R-M. Typeform.com, it's a system that's out there. It's just really good. And what you can do and what I've done is created a growth execution scorecard, which essentially asks 30 odd questions, and it takes like 2-3 minutes. All you do is you go in and you just like, it pings your question, you answer the question, you answer the question. Really simply, really straightforward. It's all branded up. And at the end of it, it can present as a score against something. So for example, within my site, the Grocery Doctor, it is about how well you're growing. All right, so it's relevant to my business, so I'm here to help you grow. It gives you a score of how well you're doing, and then it's supposed to be a bit of fun. Right? It's not like a serious, you are, you know, it's not school grading or anything like that, but it's fun. People give me loads of data on the back of that, and then I am able to then approach them with full information about what their business is like, how they think it's going. You know, we ask questions like, you know, do you join running teams? If somebody asks you at a party, what do you do? What do you say? You know, just fun stuff to keep it sort of emotionally relevant as well as factual. And what that then does is that gives us some really high quality leads that you can then go and really start to help people straight off the bat. So those two things, I think, are genuinely really useful.
I presume with someone filling in a questionnaire, I've always found the challenge to be, they've got to want to fill in the questionnaire. And I know that seems like the most obvious statement ever, but dragging someone to fill in a questionnaire kicking and screaming is not a pleasant experience. You know, people won't do it. People don't fill in questionnaires if they don't want to fill in questionnaires. Do you, where you are are at in your business, are you kind of almost feels like you're waiting for people to motivate, to be motivated to want to change or to want to grow their business? Yeah. Is that the case? Or are you sort of finding that, I don't know where I'm going with this question. I know where I'm going with this question, but I can't formulate it in my head properly. But I'm sort of saying, are you waiting for those people that are motivated to make change to come to you? Or are you pushing that questionnaire out in front of people and saying, why don't you have a serious think about this?
Great question. So I have, and within Grotion, we've got a lot of different assets that we push out to different cohorts of people. All right. Yeah. So one of the main ways that we advertise the fact that this scorecard exists, or the fact that this, we've got a booklet, you know, three launch essentials. Right. So what are the three things that you need to do to launch your business? And it is three of these elements. Every single day, right, every single day since lockdown started, actually, everything you can, 23rd of March, we release a growth execution tip. Right. So it is a little bite size. It's about 250, 300 words every day. It's a little video as well, like a 40, 45 second video of me. And the intention of that, so there's like 250 of them. And the intention of that is to identify those that open it. All right. So I've got a list of people who have registered to receive these over time. And we send it out. And every single day, it's opened by, you know, 500 people, 500 businesses. And what they do is they then just read this little tip. And within that, we embed the idea of the scorecard, or we embed the idea of the launch handbook. And more what we're doing is we are going out to the places where these people hang out. So my core audience is entrepreneurs, founders, growth leaders. All right. So people who are interested in growing their business. Now, where do they hang out? There are startup groups on Facebook, on LinkedIn. There are forums for people like this. You can refer people. You put some incentives within these growth tips. And every week I do a newsletter. There's a podcast, just like yourself, that goes out every week as well. There's a lot of work around this idea of growth execution. So actually, executing growth rather than just theory, this is some top tips about how you can actually get on and grow your business.
Yep.
And that necessarily surfaces a load of people for whom this is the answer to their challenge. You know, again, growing your business is really, really hard. And there is a zillion different ways of doing it, and a zillion different ways of not doing it. And what we try and do is map some core skills into individual businesses that are actionable, not just this kind of, you know, airy fairy, we're going to consult with you, we're going to give you some ideas, and away you go. So that this is doing it with you rather than do it yourself.
Just to take a step back to that, to something you said right at the start there about those six founders sitting around a table and you trying to work out what was different there than perhaps other iterations of business and other things that you'd seen fail in the past. What do you think was different out of that? What suddenly made that a success? We all know there's no silver bullet for these things, but, you know, normally there's a couple of things in there that you go, here's some things that we did differently this time.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're absolutely right. There is, for better or worse, and of course there's different individuals, and of course, you know, they come with different skill sets and different attitudes and all that sort of thing. But if there's one thing that is the key thing for me, it is that everybody knows what the mission is. All right. And that from the founder or founders to the senior to the team on the ground to, in fact, and including the investors to the customers, you know, to the significant others of the individuals within the business as well, everybody gets it. And what that does is a number of different things. So first of all, that mission has to be something that's quite important to everybody.
Yep.
Right. You know, one of the things about setting that out and articulating it really, really coherently and repetitively is that it allows people to buy in and also dissuades those that are going to be a problem. Right? The last thing you need on a team of six is one person who's quite disaffected by it and just, you know, turns up to take the money, because, you know, one person out of six is a lot of percentage of the business. So you need everybody dovetailing behind this kind of core mission. And that mission needs to be obviously solving a problem. All right. And the question that I get clients to answer first thing all the time, and is actually, I think, the question as well, is why are you solving this problem? And it's this why. All right. So why am I solving this problem? And just like the initial start of our conversation here is, you know, what we're here to do at Grotion, which is to help SMEs to grow. What you need to do in your business, everyone needs to do in their business, is be really, really clear about why they're solving, what the problem is and why they're solving it. And that gives permission to people to really get behind it and allows them to use that discretionary effort. You know, so the times when they're sitting, you know, of an evening and have got the laptop open in front of them and are working without direction, but actually working on the same problem, it's those moments where somebody else, where you as a founder perhaps aren't directly involved, but your mission and the articulation of that has helped this person to be incentivized to do it themselves. It's really that kind of almost solves everything else. You know, if you can get that team together, and it's hard, you know, and people are people, and sometimes they change, and sometimes things, you know, go awry and stuff like that. But at its heart, a really good business, in particular startup or an SME, I have observed, the ones that are really successful are the ones that get that mission right, get that why right, and then engage with those for whom that mission is also important from an investor point of view, or CBT point of view and stuff.
How do you... I guess anybody watching this who's got an existing business and wants to grow, and it might be in a traditional marketplace, or they might be a business that's been done 1,000 times before. They might be a plumber, they might be a builder, they might be an accountant. How are they presenting a mission statement to inspire people? I often find that a challenge, certainly with accountants, but yeah, how are they motivating? How do you motivate people with something like that?
Yeah, no, so I think it's not always, although it is sometimes, but perhaps rarely, the very specific, right, you know, we have this big sign up in the office and it's a kind of big call to arms sort of poster with, you know, where everybody has to chant it at the beginning of every day. It's not for me quite that. What it is just this repetitive and constant just observation and articulation of what we are all here to do. You know, so you know, if you go back to prime location days, for example, you know, what we were there to do was to aggregate, you know, and some of it's not, you know, it doesn't sound particularly sexy or anything like that, but we were there to aggregate this luxury property, enable people to discover their dream homes from, you know, and then from a luxury perspective, really, 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 really easy, right? So everything we did was about, right, we want people to be able to find their dream luxury home really easy. And that just means that everything becomes a lot more straightforward. You know, even when you're making like tiny decisions about, you know, how you save data into a database, or you know, whether you use a database, you know, how are you going to approach these sales conversations? You know, what is it you are looking for in a customer as much as what they're looking for in you? So, you know, so if you are, you know, a plumber or an accountant or something like that, then the reason that you've set this up and the reason you founded this business is something probably quite visceral, something quite deep. You know, it might be that, yeah, you want to provide to your family, of course. But you can do that in any other million different ways, right? The reason that you set this business up is you probably want a bit of autonomy. You probably want you probably work in businesses that you don't like. And that's probably a good touchstone as well, is actually finding the things, the reasons why you are now in this position, because you want to fix all that stuff, right? So you want to build a business that, you know, perhaps is ethical, or, you know, is everybody works at home, or is just a lot cooler than the accountancy firms you worked in the past. You know, whatever that is, find a way of articulating it to yourself. You know, you don't have to put it out there, like I said, on a poster. Understand it, really know it, sit and think about it. You know, we spend a lot of time on whiteboards and kind of really poking people when they say words. It sound like they're getting close. It's like, right, but is that really it, or is there something else behind it? Because genuinely, once you have worked that out, once you sit there with it and just go, it's not what that is, what I'm here to do. You know, it's not like, you know, you're going to necessarily change the world and, you know, you're going to charge forward with 10,000 people behind you, but it is your little corner of the world with your skill set and your team around you and your goal in life. By articulating that and by knowing that deep, then you're able to, it becomes evident and it becomes something that your other people working within the business can see. And there will be certain people potentially that you can really talk to about it and be very honest and open about it. Or there'll be people that that they get a broad understanding of what it is that you're doing, and perhaps you don't need them to buy in that much. But you know, certainly for businesses where you've got co-founders, where you have got investors, where you are asking a lot of your family, I would also suggest is probably quite a good thing for them to understand what the real deal is. I think that having that in your head and being able to at least acknowledge it to yourself is going to be something that is really, that's really important, and also will really supercharge your growth, because it does. It just means that so many questions are.
It's interesting you mentioned the word mantra early on in that piece there. Yeah. About, you know, you don't have to have a mantra that everyone chants. And I've read a lot. There's a book by Daniel Coyle, I think, and I cannot be able to remember the book now, but he talks about the success of teams that he'd sort of investigated over the years. People like the Marines. There was a big restaurant company in New York. He'd studied the All Blacks, and he'd said in all of them, all of those ultra successful teams, they all had exactly what you said, which is that they've all had this kind of mission statement, this, they all know what it is that they're there to achieve. And you know, he spoke about the restaurant company. He said even the busboys who were collecting the plates, all the way down to them, up to the head chefs, they all knew the mission of this big restaurant chain. Everybody knew it. But he also made the point that some of them do have that mantra. There's a chant. There's a, you know, at the start of the day. And he goes, it feels weird when you're looking at it from the outside.
Yeah.
It feels like you're in some sort of cult, which is essentially what it is. But you know, where you're, what sort of what you're talking, and it's funny, I had the conversation with a lady who I was coaching the other day who was talking about starting an MMA fighting gym.
Right.
She was 30 odd years old. She'd been fighting since she was 10. She could have beat the shit out of me in a heartbeat, probably using one arm. I said to her, what we need to do, whatever we do, we need to create a mascot for your gym that we create. And she had something like, not the fighting fairy or something like that. She had one in her head. Yeah. I said, we need to create a mascot that we can get a big sticker, a big decal, you know, the size of the width of my arms, on the wall by the entrance. And you need to say to everybody, every time they come to the gym or the training facility, they have to high-five the fairy on the way in and on the way out. So you're not allowed to come in and do any training or any fighting unless you've high-fived the fairy.
Love that.
And it was little things like that that I go, those are the, you know, yes, you can have a mission statement and have everyone talk about it, and that's super important, but those little mantras, those little repetitive reminders of what you stand for aren't hard to do. A sticker of a fairy that you high-five isn't hard to actually get done. Exactly. It doesn't need, none of this needs to be overly complicated. It just needs to be thought about.
That's right. And I absolutely agree. I think that the mantra side of things can work, right? And, you know, in certain things, if it's a hacker, you look at, like, you know, various things that really get people motivated, get people kind of really intensely emotionally charged, you know, and that I think is what a mantra does, but that's not for every business. You know, some businesses, you know, you look at some of the other, WeWork, for example, you know, there was always this kind of like mysticism and, say, kind of cultishness around him and around the founder. And that can be true in various businesses, and perhaps in some of the really hyper-growth businesses, it's almost a kind of prerequisite. You know, people have to almost leave some of their, certain amount of their critical faculties at the door, because they've got to just believe and believe and believe and not ask questions. You know,
Tesla would be the number one example. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just believe in the mask. Just keep going. Don't question.
Yeah.
And I think that can work. And in some businesses, you know, you see that being a real success for them. And I think your idea is perfect as well. You know, just seeing those clues and seeing and particularly physically interacting with them with a high five is great. And that will work for businesses where that founder and where that energy is there, for that to be a really core part of the brand, really, of what people are here to do, what they buy into.
Mm.
For others, it will be just, you know, being able to, you know, on a weekly basis, seeing in the accountancy gazette, you know, a panel of Ask the Accountant, right? To just, you know, that core belief that basically this is an accountancy that's focused on, you know, agony, uncle, aunt type things and stuff like that. You know, so whatever those clues, those cues are, whether they are visual, whether they are, you know, something, whether it's a bit of music, you know, at the start of every day, or, you know, whatever it is, it's just reinforces the brand values of the business and what the business is here for, and enables everybody to repeatedly buy in, because that's what you're asking people to do. Whether they high five the fairy or whatever, you are essentially inviting them to commit once more to what it is that this stands for. And that's really the key thing. And that's what makes these businesses grow.
The beauty of high-fiving a fairy, Mao, is you are now going to be thinking about high-fiving a fairy for the rest of the day.
Do you know what? I'm trying to work out how I can actually get that into my day somehow, every day. Sound like a brilliant thing. Yeah, I've got a bit of wall over there.
Before we finish up, I want to ask you about the thing on the board behind you, because and for those of us that were born in the UK and did A-level chemistry, that's kind of given me a nasty flashback.
Welcome back to your child.
Is that your is that your business table of elements? Is it? Or
yeah, it is.
So what can't I see in there? Is it bigger than that? Is there more?
It is. So there's 15 of them, and I'm only going to show you a little bit. So right, these are the 15 elements of business growth, as organized by us here at Grosch. And there's five in product up in the top right, which is the dark blue, product concept, product design, service, pricing, USP. Then we've got five in marketing, and then we've got five in sales. So the idea is that this is a very visual guide. When you talked about fairy, right? This is a very visual guide where I am consulting with clients on Zoom or whatever, and we diagnose which part of this they are perhaps challenged with most right now.
Right.
So, you know, perhaps it is that their marketing brand there is not the thing that they're doing as well, or marketing intel, or the content side of things isn't out there, or whatever. But yes, it is. It's deliberately put together in the way of a periodic table to suggest that there is a formula to this. There we are. So this is throwing you back to your A-level chemistry. And by actually having... Sorry. It's getting later. You're nearly at the end of the day. I'm just about to start. it is basically that there is a formula and a structure to successful business growth, and that this can help you to get. So that's all it is. You know, you talked about, as I said, visual cues.
And I guess the other thing I like about it is that you've taken what is... I guess within that, those 15 elements there, none of it is radically, you know, unique. It's essentially what you've done is productized your knowledge and put it in a nice, presentable, memorable format that makes you stand out. And I guess a part of what you do in product with other clients is to say, you know, all that knowledge that you have in your head or that your team has, we need to create something here that's memorable, that's going to stick into people's heads. And certainly a periodic table of business elements is fantastic.
Yeah, thanks. And you're absolutely right. You know, whatever business your listeners are in, it's very difficult to find something brand new. Right? All you're really doing is frequently doing the same stuff as many others, but you're doing it in your own way, and you're doing it with your own kind of set of priorities, really. So what if you can find a way of representing that perhaps draws on things that people are familiar with elsewhere and suggest to them something else? So again, you know, this suggests formulaic, it suggests procedure, it suggests that there are some kind of laws that you can follow. Then that's something that you can harness in the pursuit of your own goals. So yeah, I genuinely spend a lot of time with clients focusing on, right, is there something you can draw on that's out there already that is going to add to your brand and to your proposition? And that's what we do here.
And I think the thing you just touched on there, that there's a formula. Formulas have end results. You know, when you calculate a formula, when you go through a process, there is an end result. And looking at those 15 blocks, you sort of go, if I do those 15 blocks, my business will achieve whatever, upwards growth. Whereas without those, you're kind of, you know, you're taking a journey from, you know, John O'Groats to St. Ives. I knew I'd get that in somewhere.
Very good.
But you're doing it without a map. And essentially, what you're giving people is a 15-block map.
Exactly that. And, you know, and also, you know, from so many other ways it can help. So, you know, we can diagnose what are the three things that you are most challenged by in this, right? You know, so you may be doing social media, marketing distribution really, really well, but actually you don't know who you're talking to, so your marketing intel is wrong. So you're distributing some stuff out, brilliant, but it's not getting to the right people. So, you know, all of those things kind of interlock as well, and you can kind of do some really cool stuff around that as well. So, yeah, it's then you go to the scorecard and it will score all of it. So it's that sort of, it's that level, basically, is actually, can we give people confidence? Business growth is really hard, right? Really hard. And it's, you know, many, many, many businesses don't make it. But actually, are there some things that you can deliver to people that give them extra confidence? Because, confidence is obviously part of it as well. And they're going to help them get there a little bit better.
Mal, thank you very much for your time. I know it's early in the morning there. I know the rest of the family is still asleep. And it's pretty dark and cold outside, and it's 28 degrees here and sunny and warm.
That's fantastic. Really? Really? Yeah.
Which is why, I left that country in the first place, Mal, because I didn't want to be cold anymore.
Yes, I can relate to that.
Is there enough snow to go and make a snowman outside? That's my question.
With Samir and the kids were out there yesterday, yes, making snowmen. We think there should be some more today. So, yes, there's the right. Homeschooling and then, getting out there, sure.
That sounds like the worst thing I could ever think about. But
it's a great combination, mate.
Sure you're going to enjoy it. Mate, thank you very much for being on. I really appreciate it. And good luck. And last question I forget to ask everybody now.
Cool.
If people want to get hold of you, what's the best way of reaching out to you? Where are you most responsive?
Thanks, Simon. So if you go to growtion.co, so growtion.co, click on the services section there, then there's loads and loads of stuff. You can kind of get tips, you can get a newsletter, all that sort of stuff. It's all there, loads of stuff free. And you can have a look at that and you can reach out to me through there too.
Awesome. Mate, thank you very much. Have a good rest of your day.
Pleasure. Enjoy yours. Take care. Thanks.
That's it for episode number 108. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we will see you next time.